So normally this is what, you know, in all these Vedantic texts, there should have been a Mangala Shloka. For all these texts, there is a Mangala Shloka. Before you start, there is a Dhyana Shloka or Mangala Shloka. Vishnu Sahasranam, there is a Dhyana Shloka. Radha Sahasranam, there is a Dhyana Shloka. Vedantic text, Tattva Bodha, there is a Dhyana Shloka. For any text, there is a Dhyana Shloka. A Mangala Shloka is called, it is essentially kept there to pray to the Lord that I am now entering into the study of this particular text, whether it is Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta, whatever. Let this text, let this study go without any obstacle. The obstacle should not be there for me, the obstacle should not be there for the teacher, both. So, because the teacher should be able to continue, and I should be able to also able to continue. And whatever the teacher teaches, I should try to understand, and the teacher also should not have any dosha. Teacher's dosha is what? Not being able to communicate what is to be communicated correctly. Scripture says something, you cannot say different thing. You have to say what the scripture says. You cannot add your own, all this. You can try to explain, giving examples, but concept should be what the Vedas say, what the scriptures say. So dosha from the teacher is all this. And the student should have what? He should have the Medha Shakti. What is Medha Shakti? Grahana Dharana Shakti. I should be able to grasp Grahana. And I should be able to dharan, I should be able to retain. It is like, you know, many times you, when you go to all these lectures, when you hear, they will be all nice. They all look, you know, we can understand everything, everything looks fine. Moment step out of the room, they were all like this. We cannot even repeat whatever, an example we will remember, but the concept behind that example we may not remember. So dharana shakti, so we should pray for all that. So when you undertake any teaching, when you undertake any learning, this all should be there. So the Rishi structured even that by including a Dhyana Shloka or a Mangala Shloka for anything. But for Gita, even though Vedavyasa is supposed to be the one who wrote Mahabharata, he wrote a Dhyana Shloka for Mahabharata. But Gita is only a part of Mahabharata, so he didn't write a Dhyana Shloka for Gita. For Mahabharata he did, but he did Narayanam, Namaskritya, Naranchayvam, Narottamam, Devi, Saraswati, Vyasam, Tato, Jayamudirayet. That is how he started the Mahabharata with the Dhyana Shloka. But for Bhagavad Gita he didn't, because those days people were doing Parayanam of the entire Mahabharata. So they will read the Dhyana Shloka of Mahabharatam and go through the text. But now we want abridged here. So now we need a Dhyana Shloka for Gita alone. So there was a later Acharya, Madhusudana Saraswati, in the 16th, 17th, around that century. So normally people know the Dhyana Shlokas for Gita, but they don't know who wrote them. It is not written by Veda Vyasa. It is written by Madhusudana Saraswati, belonging to the 16th, 17th century AD, who wrote a Dhyana Shloka for Gita itself, so that people like us, when we enter into the learning of Gita, we can pray to the Lord that our Gita learning should go without any obstacle by praying to through this Dhyana Shloka. So that is written by Madhusudana Saraswati, not by Vedavyasa. And the purpose of Dhyana Shloka is what? For the successful completion of this study, both for the teacher and for the students, without any obstacle. So that is the purpose of this Dhyana Shloka, and we will start reading the Dhyana Shloka from today. I made copies of this Dhyana Shloka. So I think there are enough copies for all the people in the room. These shlokas are in Sanskrit, transliterated in English. So those who cannot follow Sanskrit can also read the English portion. I didn't write it in other languages because I don't know how many other languages I should write. So they are transliterated in English, but we will read all of them. And the way the classes will go will be, we will explain the meaning of every word. Not only the meaning of the word, the concept behind, Vedanti concept behind every usage will be all described. So it is like a regular classroom. Yeah, it should be 2 pages. Oh, there are only 1 page? No, that each...
Both sides on the back-to-back panel.
Back-to-back panel is matram kudu. But one... In the either bar, either all back-to-back. Either kudu. These are all back-to-back. Then the Renda is back, Kapan. No, no, Renda Gurta may not be two, it may be two, the same thing, perhaps. Check. Huh? And as I read the text, please repeat after me twice. That is your way of familiarizing with the words. That is how normally we do it. So once we start reading that, then we can go through the meaning of each one of these Dhyana Shlokas. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம ஹரி ஓம் பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதா நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வ்யாசேன க்ரதிதாம் புராண முனினா மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிருத வர்ஷிணீம் பகவதீம் அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினீம் அம்பர் த்வாமனுசந்ததாமி பகவத் கீதே பவத்வேஷிணீம் There are a total of 9 dhyana shlokas. This is the first of the dhyana shlokas. Some of the dhyana shlokas are prostrations to Bhagavad Gita herself as the goddess. Gita Mata, as Gandhiji says, like Bharata Mata, Veda Mata, Gita Mata. And some of them are prostrations to Mahabharata itself, because Mahabharata only contains the Bhagavad Gita for that. And most of them are to Lord Krishna, and some of them are for Vedavyasa. So this is how the 9 slokas are distributed. And the first one, this sloka, is for namaskaram prostrations to Gita Mata, Mother Goddess Bhagavad Gita. As Gandhiji says, she is Bhagavad Gita, the mother. Gita in Sanskrit is a feminine gender, Gita. So it is mother. So whether Gita is father, mother, so you know, we don't have to have her. Gita is mother. We naturally understand Gita, mother. But for some people, we have to explain why mother, why not father. So Gita in Sanskrit is a feminine gender word, Gita, Akaranta Stri Lingaha. And mother is also very well known for her love. Mother is well known for her love and gives whatever is necessary depending on the growth of the child. When the child is 5 months old, the mother knows what formula should be given to the child. She won't give the same thing when the child is 2 years old, when the child is 10 years old, when the child becomes a youth. So it depends, depending on the requirement of the child, the mother can give appropriate food because of her love, because of her compassion, affection for the child. Same way, Bhagavad Gita also, depending on the level of the student, will give the concepts based on their own appreciation and this thing. Yukta ahara vikarasya yukta cheshtasya karmasum yukta swapna avabodasya yogi bhavati dukaha. So a person who is at a very very primitive level, grass level, for him there is no point in telling all this big Vedanta and all. So talk to him about what food to take, what are the other things you should be pursuing. Gita will talk at that level. So he also has something to gain. So he will be able to discipline himself, because yukta ahara, this is a what is to be taken, how you should be disciplined in food. It's a primary thing which is the problem for most people. Gita addresses that also. And depending on somebody who is a little more analytical, it will talk about karma yoga. A person who is still more evolved, it will talk about karmani, akarmaya kartya pashyatem, akarmani chakarmayaha. It will talk about higher Vedanta. So depending on the level of the student, it has different things to offer, like a mother compassionate towards her child, giving based on the ability of the child, the growth of the child, the mother can give so many things. So these are the advice Gita gives to everybody, the same way, you know, as mother does. So she is such a mother who can cater to all types of children, all types of seekers, all types of students. So I prostrate to her. That is what the Acharya says here. Hey Bhagavad Gita, Ambe, Amba. Amba means mother. This is Sambodhana in Sanskrit. So addressing to Bhagavad Gita, hey Bhagavad Gita, Mother Amba, Mother Goddess Bhagavad Gita, Aham Twam Anusandadami. I constantly contemplate upon you. I meditate upon you. Anusandadami. not as a person. I meditate on you not as a person, but meditate on the content of Bhagavad Gita. As a person, meditating is fine, but content of Bhagavad Gita only is important to us. So I meditate upon you on the content of Gita, because if we remember the content of Gita, most of our problems of day-to-day life will be solved. That is all we need to, even a small concept that is there. We swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even by doing a small dharma, it will protect me from very, very big dangers. If I remember that, then I will try to follow the path of dharma, through small dharma here and there, even small amount. Saying nice words to somebody is a dharma. When he is in distress, you don't have to give him this and that. Give nice words, encouraging words, say that I am there for you. These are all small things which we can do in real life. So remembering Gita, we will try to become a better person by the day. So that is why from Anusandhatami. And what type of you, what type of Gita are you? I am prostrating. Parthaya Pradibodhita. You who in the form of a teaching, Pradibodhita, revealed to Arjuna. Parthaya, Partha is Arjuna. Pritha, Pritha is Kunti. The name of Pritha, Kunti's name is Pritha. So Pritha's son is Partha. So this is a usage in Sanskrit. So Pritha is the name of Kunti. Kunti's son is Partha. And who is the teacher here? Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam. Who is the teacher? For every teaching, Narayana is the ultimate teacher. Narayana, Padma Bhumam, Vasishtam. So all those Guru Parampara has come starting from Narayana. Asmad Acharya Pariyantam till my Guru. So all the people learned from Narayana only originally. So if I learn something from my Guru, indirectly it comes from whom? Narayana. So for all the people, the teacher is only Narayana, but indirectly. Through that teacher, Guru Parampara, it goes. But in case of Arjuna, what happens? Narayanena Swayam, directly hearing from Narayana. We are all hearing through other gurus, indirectly from Narayana. Whereas Arjuna is so fortunate, so blessed, so evolved, that he could get the teaching directly from Narayana himself. Narayanena Swayam. Vyasena Gratitam. Vyasa has compiled the teaching. Prasena Gratitam. He heard the conversation and put it in text form. Vyasena Gratitam. And in the form of what? He put it in the form of slokas. Now, one way of easily memorizing and remembering things is if it is in the form of a verse. So that is why in our custom, normally they sing everything as a song. Now you think of Boyle's law, Charles' law, which we read in physics, as slokas. No problem. Very nice, because there is a tune, there is a raga. Listen to them, recite them, no problem. That is why Panini, all, even Vedantic concept, Dharma Shastra concepts, all those things in our tradition, they are all in the form of slokas, verses, hymns. Whether the discussion between Krishna and Arjuna happened in the form of poetic form in the battlefield, we don't know. May or may not have. But Vyasa has put them in the, it may be a dialogue, it may be prose. But Vyasa has put them in the poetry form so that we will be able to understand, memorize, keep in our mind very easily, because it is poetic form. So Vyasena Gratitam. And what type of Vyasa he is? Purana Munina. Purana here has been two meanings. Purana, Puranic literature itself. There are 18 Mahapuranas, Bhagavata Purana, Markandeya Purana, Devi Bhaka, all those Puranas are there. So he is the Muni who has cast all those Puranas. So he is Purana Muni. And Purana dictionary meaning means ancient. He is an ancient Rishi. So both ways it applies to Vyasa. And where did he put this wisdom, this knowledge? Madhye Mahabharatam. In the Mahabharatam text in the middle, he put this. So that is where he put this. He capsuled it. He capsuled this great teaching. Mahabharata has so many things. In this, there are so many things in Mahabharata which are very revealing. One is this Yaksha Prashna. Another is the discussion between Yaksha and Dhanuputra. And Vidura Niti. Vidura, how he is giving Raja Niti. Vidura Niti is a great thing. Vishnu Sahasranama, another great contribution of Bhagavad Gita. So he put Bhagavad Gita as a capsule in the middle of Mahabharata, Madhya Mahabharatam. And what is the actual content of that? Advaita Amrita Varshini. Advaita Amrita Varshini. It showers the Amritam of Advaita Jnanam. Non-dual Jnanam it showers. Shastram, Advaita Shastram ityartha. So the normal mother can give the children only ordinary food, nourishing food, ordinary food she can give, milk and all she can give, whereas Bhagavad Gita the mother can give amritam for immortality. Normal mother's food will still cannot erase one person's mortality. And growth, all that is possible physically, mentally also. Whereas Bhagavad Gita can give Advaita Amritam, which is the source of immortality, Amritam. And why it is called Amritam? Amrita Karanatvat Amritam, which contains the knowledge of Advaitam Brahmam, which is Amritam. So the knowledge contained is Advaitam Brahmam, and that is why it is called Amritam. Amrita Karanatvat Amritam. Bhagavatim, who is the goddess, the omniscient goddess, this Bhagavad Gita, and it has Ashtadasha Adhyayinim. Even the Dhyana Shloka itself says it has 18 chapters. So if you have, because it is in Mahabharata, so don't read the 19th chapter and attribute to Gita. So author himself very clearly says, because if it is by itself, then you don't have to say it has 18 chapters. But because it is in part of Mahabharata, the author takes care to explain, tell us that it consists of 18 chapters. Beyond that, it is not, it is Mahabharata, not Bhagavad Gita. So, Ashtadasha Adhyayinim, 18 chapters. Bhava Dveshini, most important. Dveshi means enemy, Shatru. And Bhagavad Gita is the enemy for what? Bhava. It is the enemy for Bhava, Samsara, Sorrow. Bhava means Samsara. Bhava means Sorrow. It is the enemy for Sorrow. It is a medicine to Sorrow. It is a medicine to Samsara. Like the vanishing of darkness by light. Here by having Bhagavad Gita, your Atma Ajnanam goes away. Your ignorance goes away and you get enlightened. So it is Bhavad Veshini. So if you put Gita wisdom in the mind, all the enemies like Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, all these enemies will go away if you put Gita there. But if those things are there, what will happen? Gita will not enter there. If Gita has to go into that heart, the heart at least should have some noble qualities, should strive to gain some noble qualities. Then only Gita will enter there. But the moment Gita is there is no place for any of these enemies. They will all get out. If they are there, Gita will have no place. So it is for us to decide whether we want to entertain Gita in us or whether we want to entertain all these Kama Krodhadis in us. That is again our free will. God has given us the Viveka Shakti, the discriminative ability to take what is good for us and what is not good for us. If you are going to be tempted and go in that route, no problem, you can be there forever. If you want to entertain Gita and retain her in your heart, then that is the passport for you to go to moksha. Our choice, again. Aham anusandadami, I meditate again and again. Oh, Bhagavad Gita Amba, I am meditating upon you. That is this Dhyana Shloka. Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe.
Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe. Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe.
Pullara Vindayata Patra Netra.
Pullara Vindayata Patra Netra. Pullara Vindayata Patra Netra.
Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purnaha.
Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purnaha. Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purnaha.
Prajwalito Jnana Maya Pradipaha.
Prajwalito Jnana Maya Pradipaha. Prajwalito Jnana Maya Pradipaha.
He Vyasa Te Namaha Astu. He Vyasa, O Vyasa, Bhagavan. Te namaha astu, my namaskarams, my prostrations to you. Because your contributions are so great, so I have to do namaskaram to you again and again. What Vyasa did? Vyasa is the one who divided the Vedas into the four Vedas as we know today. Before that, Vedas were all strewn all over. All Vedas were all jumbled up. Now, Vyasa understood. This is very difficult for these people to understand all these mantras which are all jumbled up like this. So he took the job of sorting these Vedas, dividing them into four Vedas as we know today, the Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, Sama Veda and Atharva Veda. And he found four of his Shishyas and he gave each Veda to each one of them. So because he divided the Vedas into four, he is called Vyasaha. Vyasa means to divide. This is what he did. He divided the Vedas into four. Before that, he has other names. He is called Dvaipayanaha. He was born in a Dvipaha, in an island. So he is called Dvaipayanaha. He is called also Krishna. Krishna means he is dark in complexion. Badarayana, he was doing penance under a Badri tree. So there are so many other names, but Vyasa is a name because he divided the Vedas and gave them to us, the four Vedas as we know today. And he wrote all the Puranas, 18 Mahapuranas he wrote, 18 Upapuranas he wrote. And he wrote the entire Mahabharata. Bharataha Panchamo Vedaha, it is considered the fifth Veda, Mahabharata is considered the fifth Veda. Such a great text, 100,000 and odd shlokas, that's what he did. And in the field of philosophy, what he did, in Vedanta, Upanishads contains all the Vedantic doctrines we know, but not in a concise, comprehensive form, strewn all over. But he wrote the Brahma Sutras, which contained all the Upanishadic information, the entire Vedanta, in a nutshell form. So you go to Brahma Sutra, Brahma Sutra contains the entire Vedanta in it. So he gave a formal form to Vedanta, the way Vedanta as we know today through Brahma Sutras. Even those Upanishads had before all of them earlier, but the form that he gave, he is the one, Advaita philosophy through Brahma Sutras, he is the one who brought it. So, and there is also Smriti he wrote, there is a Smriti called Vyasa Smriti. So, prostrations to that Veda Vyasa, who has done so much in that time, which is there for ages, for yugas, it is still there. So, to that Vyasa, my namaskaras to him. And if he has to do so much, then how much his intellect should be? Vishala buddhehe. His buddhi is very vast. Very vishala buddhi. Very vast buddhi. And pullam aravindayata patra netra. This is the metaphor here. This is something because of your love for your teacher, you do this. Vyasa is supposed to be ugly. He is not supposed to be a very handsome person. But here the acharya says, Pulla Aravindayata Patra Netra, very handsome person, poetically. He calls him as a very handsome person, whose eyes, Netra, is like what? Aravinda Ayata Patra. Aravinda is lotus. So, lotus Ayata Patra means the long petals of here. Patra, normally Patra means leaf. So, his eyes should not be like lotus leaf. It should be lotus petal. So, we should take it as a petal here. So, like a lotus petal, long lotus petal, his eyes are so beautiful. This is again, the, you know, for a crow, you know, its own thing is also considered very beautiful. So for every is compassion, affection. So the teacher, Madhusudana Saraswati, because of his love for his teacher, he calls him a very handsome person also. Fulla means blossomed. So the blossomed, fully blossomed lotus, how its petals will be so beautiful and long. So he has such a long and beautiful eyes. Normally for ladies they say that, but again he says it here. As I told you, these are all poetic. Yenatvaya Bharata Tailapurnaha Prajvalito Jnanamaya Pradipaha. You have lit up Pradipaha, very shining lamp you have lit up, which dispels what? The darkness of ignorance, ajnanam. It dispels that darkness. And what type of lamp it is? Jnanamaya Pradipaha. Full of wisdom, Jnanamaya, of wisdom. Especially what Jnanam? Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge. It is not all other chemistry, physics Jnanam. Atma Jnana, self-knowledge. So, Vyasa brings in between his teachings the self-knowledge. He brings all the way. So, in another portion of Mahabharata also he teaches. There is Moksha Dharma. There is a separate section called Uddhava Gita. There is also fully another Gita. Uddhava Gita is there. That also talks about only knowledge, self-knowledge. So, Bhagavad Gita is the text of self-knowledge. So, he Jnanamaya Pradipaha. And what is the, if this Deepam has to be there, what is the oil which this Deepam can be burning? Bharata Taila Puranaha. Bharata refers to Mahabharata. So the Mahabharata is the Tailam, is the fuel, is that oil based on which this burn, the lamp is lighting. And Prajwalitaha, it has been lit by whom? By you. You have lit this light to dispel the ignorance through wisdom. That is what he is worshipping. To that Vyasa, my prostrations to him. Prapanna Parijataya,
Prapanna Parijataya, Prapanna Parijataya,
Totra Vetraika Panaye,
Totra Vetraika Panaye, Totra Vetraika Panaye,
Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya,
Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya, Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya,
Gita Mruta Duhe Namaha,
Gita ಗೀತಾಮೃತದುಹೇ ನಮಃ ಗೀತಾಮೃತದುಹೇ ನಮಃ.
ನೌ ದಿ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ನೌ ಡಸ್ ನಮಸ್ಕಾರಂ ಟು ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ, ಪ್ರಾಸ್ಟ್ರೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಟೆಲ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತ, ಪಾರಿಜಾತ, ಪಾರಿಜಾತ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಟ್ರೀ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಸೆಲೆಸ್ಟಿಯಲ್ ಟ್ರೀ, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ವಿಶ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ರೀ. ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಯು ವಿಶ್ ಫಾರ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗಿವ್, ಲೈಕ್ ಕಾಮಧೇನು. ಯು ಗೋ ಟು ದ ಟ್ರೀ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ ದಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗಿವ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಕಾಮಧೇನು. ಸೊ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೋಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಗಿವ್. ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸೀ ದಿ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಲೇಟರ್. ಯೋ ಯೋ ಯಾಮ್ ಯಾಮ್ ತನುಂ ಭಕ್ತ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಯಾಚಿತಿ ತಸ್ಯ ತಸ್ಯಾಚಲಾಂ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾಂ ತಾಮೇವ ವಿದದಾಮ್ಯಹಂ. ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸೀ ಲೇಟರ್ ದಟ್ the Lord gives to the devotee whatever he has, he is going to give all those wishes he is fulfilling. So like a parijata tree or like a kamadenu, he will be fulfilling all of them. So to that Krishna namaskaram, to that Krishna. And how is he? Totra vetra eka panaye. So you can remember Krishna, he is now describing how that Krishna is. We can remember Krishna in many ways. We can think of Krishna as Radha Krishna along with Radha. We can think of Krishna as Kaliyamardana Krishna. We can think of Krishna with the fruit Krishna. But he is now thinking of Krishna as the one who is having in one of his hand Totra Vetra. Totra Vetra means the handle of the whip. So he is holding the handle of a whip. He is now in the driving posture, Gidopadesha posture. He is holding all the horses with one hand and having the whip on the other hand, so that he will be able to drive the horses and drive the chariot. You are now thinking of that Krishna with one hand who is holding that whip. The hand of the whip he is holding. Why should he think of Krishna in that manner? He can think of Krishna all other manner. Because the moment you think of Krishna that manner, what do you think? You are thinking of the Gita-Upadesha Krishna. Now we are trying to learn Gita. The moment Gita-Upadesham is thought of, then you think of the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. So you think of that Krishna as the teacher, as a guru. So that's what we are thinking of now. So that our ability to understand that Gita, that will get blessed by that guru. So totra vetra eka panaye. If you think of that butter Krishna who is eating butter, you will also think of only masala dosa Krishna. Butter Krishna, all this yogurt Krishna. So you can think of all those Krishna, but this is totra vetra eka panaye, that Krishna. Jnana mudraya, what is in the other hand of him? He is having Jnana mudra. Jnana mudra is chin mudra. This is called Jnana mudra. These three fingers will be together. This finger will be folded with this is called Angushta. Angushta is the thumb. Angushta normally in Vedanta represents the Paramatma. And this is called Tarjani. Tarjani means it represents the Jivatma. Tarjani is Ahankara. Tarjani is authority. You do this. Normally they use this index finger. So this is Ahankara, representative of Ahankara, Tarjani. And these are the other three fingers. Normally this finger stays with these three. It doesn't mix with this at all, normally. It is always with the other three. And what are the other three fingers? They represent the three bodies. The Sthula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Karna Shariram. Sthula Shariram is the grass body, the one which we all see. I see your Sthula Shariram, you see my Sthula Shariram. Sukshma Shariram supposed to have 17 components. 5 Jnanendriyas, 5 sense organs, that means 5 Karmendriyas, 5 actions, organs of action, Panja Pranadeha, 5 fold the physiological functions through the pranas, the inhalation, exhalation, circulation, digestive, reversal, all these actions, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, the 5 fold Pranadeha, manas and buddhi. So all these 17 are called subtle bodies. So grass body is what we see. These are all subtle bodies which cannot be seen. So when you take the eye by itself doesn't see. You cannot pluck the eye, put down, it cannot see. The power behind seeing, sight, is called a Jnanendriyam. That is the power of sight. That is the subtle body. So the eye, as you see, is called Golakam in Vedanta. The earlobe is Golakam. But the power of hearing, yes, Shrotrendriyam, it's an Indriyam. Indriyam is the power of hearing. Golakam is the earlobe. So there are 17 subtle bodies, this grass body, and there is the third one called causal body. Causal body is called Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram is called Karana Shariram because it is the Karanam, cause for the other two bodies, namely the gross body and the subtle body. Sharira dvayasya karana matram. Because for the other two shariram, sharira dvayasya karana, this is the karana. Because through that only, it was in dormant form, these two bodies were in dormant form in this gross body. So when manifestation comes, it became manifest in the form of gross body, subtle body, etc. So these three bodies represent these three fingers. These three fingers are represented by the three bodies. And this is Jivatma. And if Jivatma, if it removes the body consciousness, I am the body consciousness what we have. When somebody asks us, who are you, what we tell? I am so and so, 5 feet so many inches tall, weighing so many pounds, manager, father, son, all this, my name is so and so, all that we say. They all signify what? They all signify my body. They do not signify me, the Chaitanyam, the Atma. So all this body consciousness, so long as that is there, I will be thinking myself as the body, I will not be thinking myself as the Atma. So if you separate that body notion and take the Jivatma away from the body and then merge it with the Paramatma, then you become one with the Paramatma, the circle becomes complete. So surrendering ego, surrendering ahankara, one has to strive to reach Paramatma by leaving the body consciousness. That is what is exposed by this chin mudra. And this is called jnana mudra or chin mudra. This is the jnana. Jnana is what? Jiva, Brahma, Aikyam. The oneness of Jiva and Paramatma. That is the Advaita jnana, and that is what is shown here by the chin mudra. And Krishna, you are now thinking of Krishna as the Gitopadesha Krishna. And what Upadesha he is giving? Advaita jnana. So the Krishna is giving this Jiva Ishwara Aikyam principle is what he is telling, and that is what you are thinking of, Jnana Mudraya. And then this is, I just explained Jnana Mudra, and to Krishnaya, to the Krishna who is dark. The Krishna is dark color. Or etymologically, if you take the etymological meaning, Krish means Karshana. Karshana means Akarshana, the one who can attract. He pulls people towards him. That is Krishna. When he plays the flute, all the, even cattle and all the gopikas, everybody run towards him. He has the ability to have akarshanam. See, Krish means karshanam. So akarshate vashi karoti. That's what he is. So he attracts, he draws people to him. So to that Krishna. And what is the special glory in this context? Gita amrita duhe namaha. The Krishna who is Gita amrita duhe. Duhe means who milked. He milked the Gita. He is the one who milked the Gita. To that Krishna, our namaskarams to him. Gita Amritam, that Gita which is Amritam, which is nectar. So he is the one who milked the Gita. So next shloka is going to tell how he milked, what is the cow, then what is the calf, who is the milkman, all those things is going to tell next shloka. But here it says here, to that Krishna who milked this Advaita Jnana, Advaita Amritam, to that Gita Amritam. And again, when you say milked, we have to understand, it is not Krishna's own teaching. It is not the milk. Krishna didn't produce the milk himself. He milked from a cow. And what is that cow? Vedas. So there is nothing original Krishna put forward. Whatever he has put forward or whatever is already contained in the Upanishads, in the Vedic scriptures, he put them in the form of a Gita Upadesham and gave it to us. Because Upanishads are vast, we don't have time to go to them. For our benefit, he milked the concepts of Advaita Amrita and gave it as Gita Amrita to us. So to that Krishna, my prostrations. Actually, this next shloka will complete this simile. If I can take another few minutes, I can do that. We are 5:30, I will close the lecture normally at 1.5 hours. If you would let me do that, I can do that. Otherwise, you can stop. Shall I go ahead? One more shloka. Sarvopanishado gavo.
Sarvopanishado gavo. Sarvopanishado gavo.
Dogda Gopalanandanaha.
Dogda Gopalanandanaha. Dogda Gopalanandanaha.
Partho Vatsas Dudir Sudhir Bhokta.
Partho Vatsas Sudhir Bhokta. Partho Vatsas Sudhir Bhokta.
Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahate.
Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahate.
So in the previous shloka, it was said Gita Amrita Duhe, who milked the Bhagavad Gita.
Now here we are talking about milking means the law of association. We should have a cow, we should have a calf, we should have a milkman, all that should be there. So this shloka talks about all those things here. The cow is what? None other than Sarvopanishadaha Gavaha. All the Upanishads, they are the cows. All the Upanishads are the cow. It's a beautiful imagery here, it's given here. All the Upanishads are the Isha Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad, all these Upanishads, they are like the cows. Because all the Upanishads talk about only one subject. There may be thousands of Upanishads, but the subject matter is not different. Subject matter is only one, namely Brahman. That is the only subject in all the Upanishads. So that is the milk. That's what he is drawing. And the Upanishad word, so these are all more details. I don't have to give, but still I will give you. Upanishadaha, that is a strilinga. That is a feminine word. Like Gita, Upanishadaha is a strilinga. Dakaranta strilinga, Upanishad Shabdaha. So that is the strilinga word. So Gita is also like mother. Mother is again cow. And here also Upanishads are also cow because it's again a feminine word. Dogda Gopalanandanaha. Who is the milkman? Gopalanandanaha Krishna. And he is called Gopalanandanaha Krishna. He would have just told some other name for Krishna. He brings Gopalanandanaha. Who is Gopalaha? Gopala Gam Palayati Iti Gopalaha. The one who protects the cow, who takes care of the cow, he is a Gopala. So he is Gopalanandana, who is the son of Gopala, he comes from that thing. So if the cow has to be milked, it cannot be done by every person. A person, the Gopala, they are the people who protects the cow, who knows the traits of the cow. If I go to a cow and then try to milk, it will kick me out. So unless the person is familiar with the trait of the cow, they cannot milk it. That is why he used the word Gopalanandana. Everybody cannot go to a cow. Unless a Gopala is there, he cannot go. So this person knows how to approach the cow. Upanishads are like that. You cannot just approach them. If you have to approach Upanishad, you will have only all problems. Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, Purnath, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Vasishyate. This is Isha Upanishad says. First Shloka is Isha Upanishad. But it says, that is whole, this is whole, from this whole that whole came, and if you remove whole from this whole, what remains is also whole. What do you make out of this? Isha Upanishad, first Upanishad, this is the first Shloka. This is what you will get. So if you approach Upanishad like that, whether he understands whole or not, this day will be gone. You will have only big whole. No WHOLE, you will only HOLE. Because this is how Upanishads are. Very abstract, very difficult to understand. You need acharyas to explain to you what all these things mean. So if you have to approach Upanishad, only a capable person can approach Upanishad directly, like a capable cowherd only can approach a cow to milk. So if you have to get the milk of nectar from Advaita Amritam from the Upanishads, you should be a proper cowherd. And that is Gopala. So that is why to indicate all these, you know, rishis do not use a word without any meaning. Each word will have loaded meaning behind them. So there is a vachyartham and lakshyartham for everything. Vachyartham is the dictionary meaning. Lakshyartham is the implied meaning. To understand the implied meaning, we cannot directly get them. We have to go to a commentator, another scholar, who would have interpreted it for us and learn from him and give what he has said. So, Gampalayati is Gopalaha. So, such a Gopala who could approach the Upanishads, he could only successfully milk that Upanishad cow and get this Gita Amritam, that milk of Gita Amrita Duhe Namaha. And because of that, here Krishna is considered as a master cowherd who knows the essence of all the Upanishads. That is that Adiguru. And okay, now if you want to milk the cow, you have to get the milk only when the calf is there. If there is no calf, the cow will not yield milk. So you need a calf. And in our place, if the calf is not there, they will create a calf. You know, they will put all this hay and all in some this thing and then try to imitate a calf for the cow. Otherwise, the calf will not be yielding. So in this country, the biggest adharma is they don't let the calf to drink even one drop of milk when the calf is born. The biggest of all the milk that we are buying in these stores are all got from such cows, which didn't have the opportunity to give even one drop of its milk to its calf. That's what we are getting. So all these things are all machined. A cow is considered a machine here. It is a milk producing machine. That's what they do. But in our system, they will first let the calf to drink milk. But the calf also should not drink all the milk. The cow can generate a few liters of milk. If the calf takes all that milk, it is not good for its health.
So they will let only drink that much amount for the calf, so that it will have that milk, and the mother will be happy that it fed the calf, and then it will yield the milk for the cow herd, the person who is milking, the milkman. And after milking again, they will let the calf to drink that milk from the mother. So that is what here, see, here the calf is Arjuna, and Arjuna is the calf. So he is going to drink the milk of this Gita. But even though he is drinking, he will not be able to drink all the milk himself. It's not good, you know, as with the calf analogy. So it is available for everybody. The milk that we milk, it is coffee rupena, it is available for us. Tea rupena for somebody else. It is, you know, yogurt rupena for somebody else. It is available in all forms to everybody. When the calf drank some milk, we all take it in so many other forms. So it is for everybody, that milk is available. And so, dugdham gita amritam mahat. This milk is a great amritam, the nourishing diet, because it nourishes what? Atma. It takes me into the path of self-awareness, self-knowledge. So the milk is not only consumed by the calf, Arjuna, it is also consumed by all seekers. All those who want to seek self-knowledge, they all can get benefit from this milk. So all other get, so all these people, they get. And who are those people? Sudhihi Bhokta. All other people, who are those people who get the benefit? Sudhihi Bhokta. Those noble people. Those noble people who are eligible. The eligibility which we spoke earlier, all those eligibility criteria should be applied here. For such people only, because they should have that drive to get moksha. They should have all those things. So, Sudhihi Bhokta, who are eligible, and they also enjoy the Gita milk, along with whom? Arjuna. Along with the calf, Arjuna. So, Upanishad is the cow, Krishna is the milkman, Bhagavad Gita is the milk, and Arjuna and all of us, we are all the calves to drink the milk which Krishna has milk. So with this, the imagery becomes complete. And it is also important to know that Gita has to be interpreted based on the Upanishads only. That is also implied meaning here. You cannot interpret Gita independently. It has to be interpreted based on the Upanishads. Why? Content is from the Upanishad. Originally it's Upanishad. Because if the content is from the Upanishad, if we have to understand Gita, it should be interpreted through the Upanishad.